Hello and welcome to Mental Awakening, the podcast that explores all topics related to trauma recovery, mental health, chronic pain, and healing. I'm your host, Sarah DeKeely, psychotherapist and mental health social worker. And in this episode, I will speak about finding our edges and why this is crucial in our journey towards healing and self-discovery. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of this podcast with me. I want to talk about the importance of meeting our edges. This is something that I've noticed in my own life, in my own journey, as being incredibly important and crucial for not only neuroplasticity, neurowiring, but also just self-discovery, self-understanding, and healing and transformation. We tend to often fear our edge. You know, we tend to often avoid what's uncomfortable. And we tend to, you know, our survival brain is designed to prevent us from getting out of our comfort zone, to getting out of our safety zone and our bubble. And this actually contributes to the increase of, you know, fear. So if fear prevents us from playing with our edge, that same fear ends up also preventing us from learning, from processing, from developing our full potential, including our full health. One of the things I've realized and noticed throughout, I guess, my own experience with everything from mental health, chronic pain, various challenges in life, and being human, is that the pain that we often experience, whether it's emotional or physical, is a reflection of the resistance that exists within us. So pain, any form of pain, chronic, emotional, mental, is resistance towards the natural self. When we stop resisting the natural self, energy flows. And when energy flows, we're actually in better health. We're in better mental health, as well as physical health, as well as emotional health. And I've often talked about energy in my podcast episodes. And I truly believe that, you know, the more I do this work as a therapist, the more I see that energy is so powerful. It's more powerful than anything else. It's the driver of the human body. You know, it's that human spirit. And that's why sometimes, you know, when you're excited about something, even if you haven't had much sleep, you still have the energy to do whatever it is you need to do the following day. For example, when you're in love, even if you don't get much sleep, even if you've got a lot happening, you still have the energy to keep going. So where energy flows, there's no blockage, there's no resistance. And in turn, there's usually no pain, there's no suffering. So energy is really important, and I'm going to get back to that. But for now, I want to talk about the edge, right? The edges. And it's something that I've started to play with a lot more in my own life. How to play with my edge, how to fly, and how to avoid falling, and when to go past my edge. And this is something that, you know, has really strengthened my trust in myself and my trust in my body. For example, just this weekend, I decided to drive 5 hours inland and just overcome this discomfort and fear that I have with driving on the highway, literally on my own to the middle of nowhere. And I had to really sit with a lot of discomfort. My mind was going to some very dark places. My body was, you know, symptomatic. And I just sat with that, and I was soothing these parts that were getting very loud from within myself, and just really sitting in all of it, whether it was, you know, anxiety, panic, fear, migraines, headaches, you know, numbing and dizziness. I just literally continued to be with that discomfort and refused to just stop, you know, to stop driving. Like, I knew that I had this destination to get to, and then of course I had to drive 5 hours back 2 days later, because I ended up just staying in a motel for 2 days. And that was hard. That was very hard. Even, you know, once I got home, I felt strange. I almost had to sit down and ground, because I noticed that the part of me, you know, that little child part or the inner child part, was very angry at me. She was almost like, why the hell did you put me through that? You know, she was angry. She felt frustrated. She felt scared. And I just had to constantly soothe and just tell her, hey, but we did it. We did it. And sometimes we have to do hard things to, you know, to overcome certain fears. Sometimes we have to do hard things because it's good for us to do those hard things. And I had to really sit with that part of myself and soothe that part of myself, you know, feel whatever emotions that came up. And so that was an example of meeting one of my edges. And, you know, I remember when I was practicing a lot of yoga, in yoga, the edge is the place of challenge and change. And it might be high, it might be scary, but it's absolutely necessary. Because, you know, just going through this experience of driving all the way to the middle of nowhere on my own, and just being met with the unknown, right? The unknown and the uncertainty was really good for me. It was good for my soul. It was resilience building. In fact, I did the same thing last month. I took myself to the other side of the world on my own. I just rented an apartment in another country on my own. I just took myself there and I just stayed there and I didn't know anyone. I basically spent most of my time on my own. And that was another thing that I wanted to challenge myself on, that, okay, Sarah, you have all these stories within yourself that aren't really serving me, that are actually stories that are stemming from childhood, the past, or even past experiences, things that have happened in the past. And so sitting with discomfort and constantly confronting my shadow has done me wonders, because the more light you shed on your shadow, the less it becomes a shadow, right? And so the thing that I'm realizing more and more as I'm doing this work, both personally and professionally, is that we have to meet our edges. As scary as it is, it's necessary. And there are different kinds of edges. There's the physical edge, you know, beyond which sometimes injury awaits. There's the emotional edge, beyond which tears and laughter blossom. There's the psychological edge, beyond which psychosis may erupt, you know. And then there's the spiritual edge, beyond which freedom is found. So I want to talk a little bit about the physical edge. The physical edge is the body always talking to us. If we could just listen, which is something that takes practice to do, because often we tend to be very focused on what's happening on the outside and not so much tuning inwards. That's not our conditioning. And that's something that really is a daily practice, to tune inwards. And that's how we can start to actually get to know ourselves, get to know our body, get to understand our physiology. You know, all the little signals of pain or discomfort are important, because, you know, they really show us what's happening inside of ourselves. The body needs challenge to stay strong and healthy. And it really is a daily dance to understand, you know, where the balance lies for you on each given day. When is it too much? When is it not enough? And just like a scale is never completely stagnant in the middle, it's like, you know, always swaying up and down. That's exactly you know, what we need to be doing, just dancing and allowing for things to sway up and down as we discover how we can get closer to having that balance for ourselves. And it's a tricky one because our mind will often do everything it can to prevent us from getting out of our comfort zone and our bubble. I know for me, you know, before I went on that drive, everything in my body was saying, this is crazy. Why are you doing this? This is a waste of time. Just stay in bed, you know, relax, enjoy your weekend. Why do you want to put yourself through this? A few months ago, I did that race that I spoke about in the previous podcast episode, and same thing there. Last month when I went overseas, again, everything inside of me was going, why would you spend all this money, put yourself through this discomfort? What is wrong with you? You know, just all these stories that my mind was telling me in order to keep me in a place of comfort. However, the problem with that is that it shrinks our bubble. It shrinks our world and it shrinks our bubble. And it actually also takes away from our ability to really embrace life fully, you know, to just make peace with uncertainty, to be able to live fully, to see life as this incredible adventurous ride where you're here to learn, to grow, to experience different things. You know, I remember even at one point when I was thinking about how, oh my gosh, what if I end up in an accident on the highway? And this part of me that, well, it's not a part, it's like that, the voice of that wisdom, that self energy came through, and it just said to me, well, even if you do, Sarah, then that will be the chapter of your life where you get to learn more about hospitals and accidents and doctors and so on, and that's fine. And even though, of course, it's unwanted, there's no way you would want such a thing, something inside of me just kind of went, yeah, it's all just different chapters. It's all just different experiences. And I kind of smiled at it for a moment, you know. It was like, even if that were to happen, then I'll have some more things to learn about. And so for me, doing these things have been really a beautiful way of playing with the edges, right? Playing with the edges in my life. When I was practicing yoga, in a yoga pose, there were often, you know, points of challenge. And we tend to, you know, whenever you go into a yoga pose for the first time, particularly, we tend to back off a little bit. And that's okay. So once we approach our edge, we check it out and then back off a little bit, but not too far to where there's no challenge at all, but just enough so the edge is still in sight. That's when the body relaxes. When the body fully trusts, it will open. The edge will invite you to kind of come in. And in time, you will actually stretch that edge. You will realize that, oh, I can be in this pose. I can actually relax into this pose, and it stretches my body further. Right? So repeating the cycle of approach, observation, slight withdrawal, and then patience, awaiting the next movement. So our physical edge is something that is reached by paying attention to sensation. This is exactly what I have continued to do, and I've found it to be so empowering. You know, when I was sitting in the car and everything inside of me, as well as, you know, just being very symptomatic, I just focused on the symptoms and I just kind of breathed into them. And I just said, this is safe. It's safe for me to be with this. And I did everything I could to not feed the story of what my mind was telling me, but rather tune into my body, move towards the sensations, and actually just notice that, okay, there's discomfort here. There's no danger, it's just a perceived sense of danger. And I find that to be, I've spoken about this pretty much in every episode that I've recorded on this podcast, is that being able to have this practice of focusing on your sensations and moving towards them really does train your brain to not fear what's happening inside of your body. It's such a powerful thing to do. And, you know, there's a beautiful quote by Bernie Clark where he says, "Come to the edge," he said. "No, it's too high," I said. "Come to the edge," he said. "No, I might fall," I said. "Come to the edge," he said. So I came to the edge and he pushed me and I flew. I really love that quote because I'm realizing more and more that it's the stories that live within us that actually contribute towards the symptoms, you know, the resistance, the fear, and the judgments. Often there's so much judgment, you know, around things having to be a certain way. So these are the patterns that I've recognized both in my own life experiences, as well as working with people for so many years, you know, in mind body health. Judgment around how life should be, how you should be, perfectionistic tendencies, constantly trying to fix things, constantly judging yourself and others. And there's a tendency to reject the self repeatedly. I should not be how I am right now. My body shouldn't be how it is right now. Whatever it is that I'm thinking should not be how it is right now. And that's a rejection of self. So it's really complete self-acceptance that sets us free. That's how we relax. That's how we let go of resistance, when I am allowed to be everything that I am in any given moment. And so with that, I want to move towards talking a little bit about the emotional edge. So our body responds to emotions in observable ways, and our emotions respond to our body. When we feel strong emotions, we know that our body reacts. We feel flushed, tight, hot, butterflies, and so on. But when we move our body, as we do, for example, you know, we exercise or whatever practice that you may have, we may also trigger emotional responses. So there's a circular flow between the body and the heart mind. And this is very well understood by Taoists and yogis of India and, you know, ancient traditions and wisdom. So our emotions cause bodily responses and our body's movements cause emotional responses. Just like we have physical edges, you know, where we can get to physically, we also have emotional edges. And if the edge is pushed too fast and too hard, an emotional opening can become an emotional injury, which is why when I have my sessions with clients, I always try my best to move them through the different emotions that they're experiencing in a way that isn't necessarily too much nor too little. Because if I were to just tiptoe around what a client is feeling or someone else is feeling, then I wouldn't actually be supporting them through that particular emotion or that particular trigger. Often when we get stuck on an emotional level, it's usually because there's fear. There's fear around feeling a certain emotion. And a lot of this is a subconscious thing too, because a lot of people just aren't aware that the brain is just doing these things automatically. You know, the brain is trying to prevent them from feeling their anger or feeling their sadness. And so when we, you know, allow our fears to prevent our opening, when we're afraid to really feel our feelings, we're afraid to be angry, we're afraid to love, you know, we're afraid to grieve or to feel our sadness and disappointment, we're actually avoiding the edges. And that is what can really keep us stuck. Because ultimately what we want to get to is the authentic self, an acceptance of that authentic self, which means that whatever I am in this moment is what I am in this moment, is what I'm meant to be in this moment, and that's okay. That's allowed. That has to be allowed. There's an ability to just accept and allow whatever you are in whatever given moment, as opposed to that constant rejection. And often what we tend to do is the opposite. I just need to fix this symptom. I just need to fix my body. I just need to fix my life problems. And then I'll be able to feel better about myself. And then I'll accept myself. And then I'll love myself. And that's actually not at all how it works. So we also have psychological ages. And, you know, it's not surprising that along with physical and emotional edges, we also have these psychological edges beyond which there is this opening to the deep psyche, you know? And this is something that our ego mind, survival mind, shadow, whatever, inner child, all these parts, it doesn't like to see that. It doesn't like to view that. And if we're not prepared, it can sometimes really take us to some dark places. So the egoic mind will not willingly go there. It doesn't want to see the shadow. It doesn't want to sit with the shadow. It doesn't want to face it. And it will do everything it can to run away from it. And this is why people don't really go to therapy until there's a crisis in their lives. You know, we don't really want to dive deep or go within until there, you know, there comes a point where we feel like we've got no other choice. So the edge is the place where our concepts change. And it's so powerful because we enter a state, you know, an alternate state of consciousness. You end up losing the familiar. I know for me, you know, going on this big trip overseas and then coming back and then going on this, you know, this weekend to the middle of nowhere, all these little things I've noticed is really shaking me up to the point where I'm just changing. I'm changing rapidly, and, you know, I'm so much more comfortable being with uncertainty, living in the unfamiliar. And I'm noticing how that inner voice is always warning me that the edges, you know, not to be passed, that I need to back off, that I need to, you know, live my life safely or do life in a way that is socially acceptable, or whatever the case may be, whatever stories I have about how I should be living my life. And I'm noticing that the more I stop giving into that mental chatter, the better I live life, the better life feels to me, despite everything that it comes with, you know, because obviously the challenges are always going to come no matter what you do in this life. And there's something really beautiful in that. There's something very safe in that. I actually started writing about safety. What is it that makes me feel safe? And what I'm noticing now, and it's, you know, I'm working on a second book, is that safety is within me. I am the safety. I am the safety. The safety is not outside of me. It's inside of me. And this is where we get to the spiritual edge, the biggest edge of our lives, the spiritual edge. And beyond this edge is freedom. But it's not freedom as we imagine it in the West. You know, we often think of freedom as having money, having paid off your mortgage, having time off or going on holidays. And that's not the kind of freedom I'm talking about. It's a freedom that is actually free from control, from a form of wanting that is very much survival wired. And yes, I'm very much aware that not everybody is there yet or may never be, and that's okay. But I still think it's worth mentioning that such a vast freedom, you know, really does have an effect on the social fabric of your life. You will actually go beyond psychology. So once we've had a chapter or a phase or whatever, this time in our lives where we need to implement boundaries and we need to understand various psychological concepts and theories, because, you know, it's part of the journey towards self-actualization, building a healthier relationship with self and self-trust. Eventually, you get to a place where you don't need to do any of those things because you fully actually trust yourself. So you don't need to try and make everybody understand your boundaries, or you don't need to control anything on the outside to try and, you know, feel powerful and strong because you didn't feel it as a child. To wrap up, I want to, I guess, just summarize what I've been talking about in this episode, which is that we really want to go into fear, because that's what our edge is about, right? We're staring the fear in the eyes and we're actually feeling it shake and tremor our body in various shapes or forms, emotionally, mentally, however that may be. And we're going into an incredibly vulnerable state where we're holding ourselves with curiosity and loving kindness in that despairing moment. And that's when something can start to shift. You know, having this knowledge and information that all I have to do is let my biology do what it's doing. And that it does that. You know, whatever it is, it's doing that. I don't worry about it. I hold on, you know, to that moment, and eventually it subsides. And I don't feed the narrative. I don't go into stories and judgments and then, you know, resisting and shaming and whatever the case may be mentally about what's happening. I'm staying present. And as I continue with that practice, we not only change the neurowiring, we also build resilience and start to feel stronger in every sense. Our energy strengthens, our mind strengthens, our emotions, you know, our emotional brain strengthens. And, you know, there are a lot of different options in terms of how you can become present with discomfort. But just remembering that it's not about getting rid of the discomfort. It's about surrendering to the mystery that's occurring within the complexity of your body, which has a sensory element. It has a mental element. It has an emotional element. It has a spiritual element. And all of this is feeding into the physiology of the actual discomfort that we're observing, witnessing, and being present to. So we're learning to be lovingly aware instead of critically or judgmentally aware. And that's the difference, right? Instead of shaming and judging, just like I said, you know, why is this happening? What have I done? Oh my gosh, this should not be happening. I hate it when this happens. I don't want my body to be this way. What if this continues? How can I fix this? Why isn't this healing? These are all stories and narratives, right? We're shifting that fear camp into loving awareness. And that's a practice. That's a practice. Surrendering into the complexity within ourselves and the complexity of being human is a huge paradigm shift. And, you know, I know that it's definitely powerful. It's as uncomfortable as it can be. It can also be very, very powerful. It actually is, not can be. It is very powerful if you continue to maintain that practice. And just really honoring that darkness that is taking place within us for that moment. And I often find that if you really, truly become intimate with that darkness, it doesn't really take more than, you know, I don't want to give it a time frame, but it's a very short time frame when you really go into it. It's not a long time frame, in fact. It's the resistance that lengthens this process of suffering that's taking place from within when we're symptomatic. Whenever we embrace the discomfort, the darkness of whatever moment as it shows up, and we move towards it instead of trying to bypass it with every tool and strategy under the sun, what happens is that we actually create spaciousness from within. And that's where we experience relief. I truly believe that healthy human beings have these internal reference points about how they position themselves, how they reassure themselves, how they validate themselves, how they know themselves. And particularly in this Western culture where we're trained to be constantly focused on what's on the outside, what our doctor says, what the studies show, you know, what our teacher says, our parents say, you know, what they think of us at work, you know, the friends we have, the job, the possessions that we have, all these external inputs that we have put a lot of emphasis on in order to feel worthy, in order to feel safe, in order to feel, you know, good enough. And the problem with that is that we've lost that balance. We don't really know how to tune inwards until our body makes us. And I think being able to really hold the sacredness of that, that's so powerful. Really being able to focus on your internal reference point, your sensations, you know, the maps and the patterns you feel in your body, the stories. They're all the internal reference points about how we organize ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. And no one can take that away from us as long as we're focused on what's happening internally, you know, because it doesn't matter how many jobs you lose. I've had so many jobs before I started doing this job. Tons. My gosh, I think I've lived 100 lives before this particular one that I'm living now. You know, I've had so many friends that have come and gone, people in general, places. It doesn't really matter what happens on the outside, because when you have these internal reference points about how you can ground yourself, how you center yourself, how you love yourself, then you start to see that actually through that internal feedback loop, I am present with me. It's like I tell myself that. I love your company, Sarah. I'm here for you, Sarah. I love you, Sarah. That internal reference point is something that nobody can take away from me. Nobody can shift. Nobody can change. Nobody can take that from me. And that's what I really, you know, that's what I focus on building, both for myself and with the people I work with. Because as children, we're often taught to focus on, you know, external reference points for validation, for worthiness, for a sense of self. But it's the internal, it's the inner that is actually, you know, where we find our true power. So when we're willing to stay there through the fight, flight, freeze, fawn and be present with ourselves, we're keeping our life force inside of us. We're actually managing our energy, right? We're not draining and leaking our energy. We're not giving our energy away. We're actually recycling this life force within us. And, you know, we really are strengthening and aligning ourselves, coming back home to ourselves and finding that sense of safety. There's no judgment, you know. The body just gives sensations. It delivers us exactly the sensations that it feels. And it needs to regulate that life force. And we have blockages of life force, you know, blockages of what we call prana, chi, which is all about energy and breath and blood flow. And these are the things that end up causing disease, causing ill health, is because that's not flowing. We don't talk about the energetic body very much in the West, but it's nevertheless present and it is so powerful. I mean, the more I do this work, I get my mind is amazed by how powerful the energetic body is. I'd like to end this episode by reading you a poem that I wrote on vulnerability. I truly believe that vulnerability is our superpower. And when we get to know our edges and we embrace our vulnerability, we get to tap into our power. To bear the soul, a tender plea, a quiet act of bravery, a trembling hand, an open heart, the willingness to fall apart. Like leaves that drift on autumn's air, we shed our shields, we stand so bare. Each crack, each scar, a map, a tale. A statement, we're whole, though frail. In fleeting moments, truth revealed, the wounds we thought would never heal. Those salted tears and whispered sighs, a bridge is built in shared replies. To risk the storm, to feel the rain, to share the depths of joy and pain. For in the fragile, we are strong. In broken chords, life writes its song. O vulnerability, gentle art, the unseen armor of the heart. For when we dare to be exposed, our truest selves are then composed. All right, everybody, thank you for tuning in today. If you're interested in working with me, please visit mentalawakening.com.au. If you love this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. This will help more people to access the information shared here. Until next time, take care, everybody. Bye for now.